Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Were you ready for the word? Turn with me in your Bibles. To the book of John. Praise you, Jesus. John chapter 1, have you got it? It says in verse 12, "But as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now here it says we've been given the power to become sons of God. Now understand, if you're a woman, you still get to become a son of God, right? You want to become a son of God because sons receive the inheritance. Amen. But it's okay, the guys have to be a bride. So it works out even. And through sonship, what that means is, not only are we of the lineage of Jesus Christ, we've been born again by the same incorruptible seed that birthed Him. Amen. Mary, when she conceived, told the angel, said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And she received the incorruptible word the angel spoke, the word of God, and conceived Jesus. Amen. We were born again by incorruptible seed. And through that incorruptible seed, we've been made of the same lineage and spiritual DNA as Jesus Himself. You, being a born-again Christian, assuming you are, have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. No longer a sinner, but now made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And inside of you dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, just like Jesus had. Amen. You have the very nature of love on the inside. But it says those that receive of this sonship, and that includes the authority as well. It includes the ability to walk in the giftings, all that's in our sonship. But He says it's given to those that believe on His name. We're on a series where we've been talking about the principles of faith. Because we've come to find out that nothing happens in our lives in a supernatural fashion. In other words, that God's involved in without us or somebody believing God. God has made available as sons to us all power. Amen? He says all the provision of heaven is laid up for us. Everything Jesus had access to, we have access to. If we can believe. Now last week we started talking at some length about this power of believing. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen? As many as believe on His name, they'll be the sons of God. Jesus said, if you can believe, you can command a mountain to be thrown into the sea. And if you don't doubt, but believe those things you say come to pass, you will have whatever you believe. What things soever you desire. Amen. Believe it and you can have it. These are promises in the Word of God. So what we understand is God's made all power and provision available to us if we can link to it through the power or the principles of faith. Amen. Faith takes you and your circumstance and links you to God and His provision. Amen. In the same way you got saved. Romans chapter 10, right? If you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. What happened? You believed, and what you believed, you spoke. There was a faith connection made. And through faith, you received the born-again experience. You became a child of God. So everything that takes place in our life as a child of God takes place by faith. In other words, if it's God's provision being supplied to us, you access it by faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." You've got to believe that God wants to provide for you. And then you've got to believe that what you speak comes to pass. And when you make that faith connection, you lay hold of God's promise out of His Word to bring that provision into your life. Amen. So faith connects us with the promise of God. And we're learning how do we build our faith? How do we use our faith? what is faith actually consisting of? Because what we found out is you can't waver. James chapter 1 says, when you ask of God, ask without doubting. Ask without wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so what we found out is believing is more than just, you know, your mind coming into, you know, agreement with the Word, or seeing that there's a promise in the Word that you can access. Faith is actually where you take that Word and you get that Word down inside of you. Amen. I get to teach the kids Tuesday night at the Word Rally. I'm doing the winner circle with the 6 to 12s. And my assigned topic is not doubting. They're teaching faith all week to the young kids. Praise God. And my assigned topic is to not doubt. So my teaching tool, I'll describe it to you tonight so you can get the same teaching I'm giving to the six-year-olds next week. Is I'm taking in a handful of grass. I have several teaching tools I'll take in. I always take in something they can see. I'm taking in a bunch of grass, and I'm taking in a big hamburger. And the truth is, that hamburger used to be grass. Amen? That cow became cow, a bigger cow, by eating grass. And through that cow chewing on and re-chewing on and re-chewing on that grass, what used to be grass became cow. Ended up as my hamburger. Amen. And in the same fashion, we as we chew on the Word, we meditate the Word and meditate it, there's a supernatural transformation takes place. That what used to be written words on a page moves down into our heart and becomes faith. It says in James chapter 1, verse 21, to receive with meekness the engrafted word, engrafted, infused within you, word which is able to save your souls. We are to spend time meditating the Word of God until the Word of God undergoes a transformation within us. And it's impossible to describe this transformation unless you've experienced it. You know, I hear this all the time, this story that men just don't know what it's like to have a baby because they've never experienced that pain. Don't desire to, you follow me? Thank you for women having the babies, you know. But they say, you just don't know what it's like. You can't imagine what it's like, you know. It's like passing a watermelon and everything else. I've heard all these stories. And they tell me I will never be able to comprehend that experience. Well, people that have never learned or experienced the process of faith being developed within them, and all of a sudden they know they have a faith connection, you can't explain it to them. Because to the natural man, you think faith is just being convinced in your head. But that's just mental ascension. That's just agreeing with the Word. Faith is a supernatural process. Amen? That's like taking the wad of grass, put it in a cow's mouth, pull it back out, and says, now it's hamburger. It's not the same. That grass undergoes something that is actually natural, but it seems supernatural. When that grass goes into the cow, the digestive components of the cow actually are able to break down the grass into individual molecules. You follow me? And individual components, and reassemble those molecules and elements in a fashion that become beef. That is, to me, supernatural. It was grass, inedible. Now it's prime grade A number one. Cut me a T-bone right now. Amen. When Peter said, kill and eat, he had me in mind. Or when God told Peter that. It used to be grass, now it's cow. In the same fashion, when you take in the Word of God and you chew on the Word of God, a supernatural process takes place inside of you that all of a sudden you know it's true. And you know, and the best example I have to give for that is salvation. Let me pick on somebody tonight, and I want somebody who's been saved quite a while. Oh, We'll use Peggy tonight. Peggy, are you saved? How do you know you're saved? It says it in the Word. It says that in the Word to a lot of people. What makes you think you're saved? So if somebody came to you and says, I don't believe you're saved, Peggy. I believe you just made the whole thing up. What would you say to that? Their words would have no impact. Because you already know down here, you're saved. Why was it able to take place that down here you know that you're saved? You know why? Because all of your life you were raised up hearing, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. And so it's real to you. You know it's true. You've heard it and heard it and heard it until that is a truth that is unquestionable to you. Amen. And you confessed it. And because you confessed it in agreement, you may not even feel saved. But you know the Word says it, and you know it because the Word says it, you've got it. And won't move off of it. I mean, Peggy's been saved at least 3 or 4 years now. Amen. Been saved for some time. And I'll guarantee you through her day, she's not going around saying, oh God, I hope I'm saved. Oh Lord, Lord, the devil just attacked me. Oh God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, let me keep my salvation. Oh, I repent. She's not doing that. Why? She knows she's saved. And no attack of the enemy is going to take from her the revelation she's saved. No group of people saying, you know, I think you're just, you know, making the whole thing up. I believe you just imagine in your head is not going to take away her salvation experience. Why? She believes it. She's heard it all of her life. That word is down inside of her. The problem we have in Christianity is we've heard all of our lives about salvation, so we believe that, but we've not heard the rest of the promises of God. And the same God that said He would forgive all of your iniquities, as part of being saved, forgiving of your sin, forgiveness of sin, is the same God in the same verse who said, and I will heal all your diseases. We have a promise of being healed of everything. Every time, all the time. It's the same book and the same God that promises both. But we have a whole lot of people in the church walking around sick because they've not spent enough time hearing the promise of healing. Instead, what they hear is all the people saying, well, I just don't believe God heals anymore. It's not God's will to heal everybody all the time. Amen. And so because there's wavering in their mind, they've never been able to focus on and fully meditate on the promise of healing God's given to us over and over in the Word. I mean, there are dozens of scriptures in the Word dealing with the promise of divine healing and divine health. Because they've never spent time meditating that promise, that grass, can we just call it grass? Now you old druggies, don't take this too far. It's a shame when you say stuff like that. Nowadays, even the seasoned citizens are laughing because now they know what it means. Amen? How long this stuff has been around. That grass of healing has not been chewed on enough in your spiritual digestive operation to cause faith to be developed. Did you follow me? And so what happens is the devil brings you some symptoms, you feel bad, and you start entertaining the voices, well, you're sick. Amen. Versus, like Peggy said, if somebody tells her she's not healed, I mean not saved, she'll say, I am too saved. It doesn't matter how many voices tell her she's not saved, she's going to say, I'm saved. Amen. If you understand the same word promises healing, then when sickness comes, you'll say, no, I'm healed. And people around you say, you look bad, are you sick? No, I'm healed. And no matter what the symptoms declare, you refuse to move off of what the Word says. Why? Because that promise has been solidified down inside of you. You're not making it up, you know it's true. Did you follow me? If you're just having to say it, you know, out of determination not to say the wrong thing, it's probably not a faith connection. You know faith is connected when you believe what you're saying is going to come to pass. Just to go through some of the steps of faith real quick, the first thing you do with faith is you have to build faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Then you speak faith. You speak the Word of God. You sow the seed of the Word of God. As Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, you sow the seed. You speak the Word of God. Amen. And then you stand on what you've spoken, refusing to move until it manifests. Oh, and I left out one step. And you act on the Word of God. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. So if you're feeling bad, you just can't pull the covers over your head and say, somebody get me some chicken soup, I'm healed. You jump out of bed and say, glory to God, I'm healed. Devil, get off my head. You act on the Word. And so we're talking about the step of believing and developing that believing. And the same promises that promise us salvation promise us healing, promise us financial blessing, promise us sonship, as we just read. How many become sons of God? They that believe on His name. Here's another problem we have. We have too many people in the church believing we're just worthless sinners. How many times, I was not raised in church, so I did not have this embedded within me. But we first started going, I heard all the time how worthless we were. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. You're worthless. You're a worm. And we had programmed into us a fallen mindset, even though we were born again and made a son, made righteous. We walked around calling ourselves sinners, saved by grace. I'm just a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Well, listen, you can't be both. You can't be both. You were a sinner, but you got saved by grace. You got transformed. Now, understand, you can be a saint and still sin. But you won't hold on to that salvation real long at that pace. We are assigned to go after the things of the Spirit. So, your sonship and all the authority and the anointing and the giftings and the blessings that go with sonship are all predicated on us believing that we are sons. And you have to talk to yourself about your sonship. You have to sow to yourself in righteousness to reap that sure reward. You have to declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because you've got voices all over the place declaring how you're still fallen. You have voices reminding you of your flaws and your failings. Amen. Stuff you did years ago, he'll still bring up. I was in my office today, just praying and meditating, and was reminded of something I did wrong. Not a sin necessarily, just something I didn't handle right 40 years ago. And he says, you think you're such a great person. I wouldn't say 40 years ago. Amen. And he's going to remind me of something I didn't do quite right 40 years ago. You stupid devil, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you have to speak on your faith, amen, and sow to yourself the Word of God to build that faith. I repeatedly call myself righteous. Not out of pride, I'm righteous. I do it to sow it into me. I want to keep chewing on that grass of the Word of God regarding righteousness. You know, being from the farm, we grew up knowing that beef will taste, the taste of beef will be influenced by what the cow eats. Amen? I mean, they can eat out of the onion patch 3 days before you slaughter them, and you slaughter the beef, it'll taste like onions. And grain-fed beef doesn't taste as good as grass-fed beef. And so, you can direct your animals to eat in certain parts of the field that you think have better grasses or better substances that will provide for better tasting meat. And of course, the wise farmer knows these things. He will sell his cows that eat in the regular field, and he'll eat the ones he puts in the field with, you know, with the sweet clover and all that. You choose what you're going to feed on. You choose what you're going to build yourself up into. Do you follow me? You choose what words or what promises or verses you want to decree or declare over your life. If you walk around talking about how sick you are and how tired you are and how worthless you are and how you're always making mistakes, guess what your harvest is going to be? And guess what kind of a savor your life is putting in the mouth of God. Amen. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Well, He wants to taste and see that our walk is good as well. And so you choose whether to sow curse into your life. Nothing ever goes right for me. I can't do anything right. I just hate everything. I can't forgive this person. I just can't get over that. This always sets me off. This is my pet peeve. You sow all this curse into your life, and your faith will be in it. There was a time in my life I thought no matter what I did, something was going to go wrong. There was a time I thought if I worked on a car or anything, I was going to cut myself before it was done. Smash a finger, cut myself, because I'd become convinced that no matter what you worked on, you had to get hurt at least one time. And I saw that prophecy fulfilled. I got more scars on my hands and wrists and everything else, and burns and chips taken out of stuff, broken fingers and everything else, you know, that I can even look up and count from years of experiencing what I believed in. Until I got a hold of, He says He gives His angels charge over me to bear me up in all my ways. I don't have to get hurt anymore. And if I do get hurt, I'm going to try not to talk about it. Because I don't want to give the devil the glory for getting one over on me. Amen. Instead, I'm going to talk about the blessing of God, the provision of God, the power of God, and the favor of God. One of the things I've seen the enemy do, try to work into people's lives, is a rejection mentality or a persecution mentality that you just feel people are going to reject you. You better know what I'm talking about. You walk around expecting rejection. Why? You've experienced it in the past, and you said things like, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I might as well eat worms. He said, no matter what I do, I can't please anybody. What are you doing? You're sowing seeds that cause you to anticipate rejection and probably experience it. Another thing we sow into our lives is a persecution mentality. Well, they're just going to pick on me. No matter what happens, the police are going to stop me. You know, here's one I have to cast down. I don't think I've been through the airport yet that TSA didn't stop me and wand me and everything else. I don't know if I look like a terrorist or what's going on, or I just don't trust white-headed people. Patty will testify, I get pulled out of every single line. Not been strip searched, not going to be. Amen. The wanding was enough. But it tends to create in you a mindset. They stop me every time. Not me in Jesus' name. I don't care if you stop me 50 times in a row, they won't stop me next time. You refuse to let your past cause your soul to start projecting a future of persecution. Enemy wants to create in you a mindset that people are going to pick on you, or you're always going to get the least favor. No matter what happens, you're always, you know, you go to the here's the one in the family. You may have a big family like I did, fairly big. And, you know, when it was time for the fried chicken, it was a fight over the chicken pieces. They didn't have the store where you got a box of breasts back then. You got a chicken, you cut the chicken up. Right. Or grandma just wrung the neck off, you know, and we ate, you know, straight from the barnyard. And when it was fried chicken time, it was who could get to the piece you wanted first. And invariably, you'll get stuck with the back. They don't even sell the backs anymore. Yeah, do you ever go to the store and say, chicken backs? We always cook the back. And it was where, you know, I had to pick pieces of chicken. You know what I'm talking about. You get stuck with the wings or the back. And that was back in the days where nobody wanted the wings. Now wings are $2 or $3 a pound. They're fighting over the wings. I'm telling you. And so you if you always got stuck with the back or the wings, or in our case, the heart and the gizzard, because we did those too. I mean, if it came in the chicken, we ate it. If they'd have packaged the beak, we'd have chewed that thing up somehow. Now, see, I've never eaten the feet, but I understand a lot of people love the feet. You go to Mexico, you can buy packs, bundles of chicken feet. And they fry those chicken feet up. I'm telling you. The point being is, if you always get the back, the enemy will use it against you. You always get the wrong end of the deal. You always get the leftovers, you know. No matter what happens, you get the hand-me-downs. Whatever, you know. And you'll walk around with a persecution mindset. And you got to determine as a son of God, you're coming out of that. I get the best. I have favor with God and man, as the Word says. Amen. I never come up last. If I get the end piece, it's because I've sown the rest of it, not because I'm stuck with it. See, you can do it where you go have the chicken dinner. You say, "What do you want? Take that breast. That's a great. Take both breasts. Take the legs." The kids always fight over the legs. The adults fight over the breasts, right? When the thigh is the best part. Big debate in our house. She always buys these chicken breasts. I only like chicken breasts. It's like eating cardboard. Is you can take the chicken and say, "Take all the best pieces. I'm going to eat these gizzards. I'm going to eat the heart, whatever. I want you to be favored. I want to bless you." Then it becomes a seed. Amen. You can do it like that, but where you get stuck with it all the time, you got to bind that stuff up. Yeah. I'm not the tail in this situation. I've had to cast a bunch of it down for some time. We go to these ministers' meetings, and every time we go, we end up going out to eat. And invariably, for some time, everybody get their food and they say, "Oh, we forgot you. I ordered a hamburger." How do you forget a hamburger? And they would bring my food out last or later. I've had a few cases where they forgot it altogether. And I'm sitting there waiting. Oh, you did have that order, didn't you? Well, yours is free today. I gotta leave. And you have to cast down this mentality. They're just picking on me. We went out to eat last Wednesday, and went to Beatty's Mongolian Grill. Y'all know what Beatty's is? I love Beatty's. Some people don't like it. I love it. And they take your food. You go through a line, put all the food you want, all the meat and everything, and I'd pile up this bowl full of ribeye and New York strip, you know, all these pieces, and almost all steak, some shrimp. Got it there. They take it and they put on this big round, hot plate, cooking everybody's together, and they flip it all around, and all the stuff. And when it's done, they take these big long wands they have, scrapers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And they scrape your food off on a plate like that. And here I am. I'm about to get my food. Everybody's getting their food. We have a big crowd. And the guy goes to do his wand on my food. And when he does like this, the guy next to him decides to squirt oil on the thing, on the hot plate. And they clash, and my food goes all across the wall, down on the floor, everything. I'm sitting there, "Guys, I'm hungry." I have to go back through the line, wait all the way. You thought they'd have moved me back to the front. Wait all the way through the cooking line again, go through the process. By the time I get there to the table, everybody's done eating. Or close to it. Devil, I'm the head and not the tail in this place, in Jesus' name, amen. You got to refuse to develop a persecution mindset because you believe that you are a son of God, that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we're talking about the principle of faith, the principles of faith, and the principle of believing. Amen? But everything regarding faith, regarding you receiving from God, is going to branch out of you believing that you are a son. Because if you believe that you're a sinner, you question your sainthood. If you believe that you have disappointed God or He's upset at you, if you believe that somehow you're falling short of the glory, you will not be able to reliably use your faith to receive any other promises from God. Because all that you receive of God is going to be by faith. And one of the major causes of a mind being divided or doubting receiving from God is condemnation. Is the enemy telling you that you are not worthy to receive from God? Listen, Jesus made you worthy. Now, that doesn't give you a right to go willingly and freely sin. And you will make mistakes, but if you make a mistake, just repent and say, God, help me with this. Get back on track. But you have a right to receive of God's table without condemnation. But as long as you feel like you're a mess up, as long as you feel like you're always blowing it, that condemnation that comes in will produce doubt of your ability to receive. So one of the primary things you have to do if you want to be able to receive of God by faith is work into yourself the principle or concept of righteousness. You must believe you're a son of God. Did we just read that? That He gives them power to become the sons of God? In 1 John, I believe it is, it says, now are you the sons of God. Now. When do you become a son of God? When you believe in Jesus Christ. And you can even be a son of God and not know you're a son of God. I was a son of God for years and didn't know it. I just thought I was saved. I didn't know sonship came with salvation. Did you follow me? See, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you receive of His nature. But if you don't know you have His nature, you will speak and act in a contrary fashion and not see the blessings of that nature. So you'll walk around as a loser even though God made you a winner. The power of God is really amplified in your life when you find out who you are. Because until you know who you are, you won't fully realize what you have access to. And what you don't know, you cannot utilize. So find out that God made you a new creation. I feel like I need to camp out here for a few more minutes. Before you got saved, you were of the species of being called Homo sapien. Amen? A human being. Once you were saved, I don't believe that's the right classification for you anymore. Amen? You're a Yahweh sapien. Homo sapien. A Yahweh sapien. You're a new species made in the image of God. On the inside. You have the very nature of God imprinted within you. Amen. Now receive that revelation and walk like you're not a person anymore. Not in pride because you feel like you're better than somebody, but walk with a knowing you have the favor of God. You have the power of God. You have the promises of God. Walk around recognizing who you used to be is now dead and a new life has arisen made in God's image. A joiner with Jesus. And develop that mindset. The primary cause. How many believe that God's provided healing for us? Do you believe He's provided healing? How about believing He's provided prosperity? How about joy? Peace? How about deliverance from oppression? Do you believe Jesus ever walked around with an oppressed day? You know, He's come to Jerusalem, sees all the problems. Oh, God, I just can't take this anymore. I've had it with all these guys. Peter's always denying me. Judas stealing from the bag. I've had it. Father God, find you somebody else because I ain't going to that cross. I'm done. You don't ever see Jesus in that mindset. Why? He learned how to access the power of God to live above oppression. Look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, have you got it? This is one of, I believe, the most powerful passages in all of Scripture. It says in verse 14, "In righteousness shall thou be established." What's it talking about in righteousness you'll be established? We used to think righteousness meant right living. It's not right living, it's right standing. It's having the right nature. Righteousness is not what you do, it's who you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You would have to be for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. You'd have to be to go to heaven. Because sin can't enter heaven. Amen? You were born again by the incorruptible seed that has to make you righteous. You are now a sin-free being on the inside. Hey, you'll still sin because you remember how up here? And you live in this flesh body that's going to make mistakes. You follow me? But down in your spirit, man, the real you, you've been made righteous. And your assignment now is to get in the Word of God and retrain your soul to think spiritually, to become spiritually minded. To renew your mind that you think in line with the Word of God so that you can bring your flesh into obedience. And so righteousness really defines your new nature. Amen. I was born again in 1984. I didn't find out I was the righteousness of God until 1995. Or 96, I think. 96, I found out I was the righteousness of God. When did we move in our house? 95, I found out I was the righteousness of God. And it transformed my life. When I found out I didn't have to be a loser anymore, you know, as far as thinking I was going to lose battles. When I found out God had made me a new creation, my past had really passed away. When I found out He'd actually taken sin out from the inside of me, and that's why I hated sinning so much, that's why I hated making mistakes so much, because it wasn't who I was anymore. It released me to move into the depths of the things of God. To a higher level. I understand there's a lot further to go. And so it's righteousness, as far as we are concerned, is the revelation of who you are once you're saved. You are now. I know this totally causes the natural mind or even the religious mind to want to tilt. But I'm telling you what the Word says, that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you're born again. And it says in righteousness here in verse 14, you shall be established. In other words, made immovable. For you shall be far from oppression. Has anybody in here ever entertained oppression? Like, not today, I'm talking about you. There's every one of us have entertained oppression. Amen? That feeling like, you know, nothing's going right for me. I'm having a bad day. I'm just not happy today. Everything's making me upset. Oppression. That is a visitation of demonic spirits trying to bring you down from your elevated position with God. Trying to convince you not to move in spiritual any further or any longer. That you just need to quit. Oppression's goal is to pressure you to quit. And it says in righteousness you shall be far from oppression. What's going on? You recognize you are a child of God. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine, the devil, that he would in any way confront or accuse a child of the King? I think I mentioned this before, but there was a movie that I've seen several times, several remakes, that I've always just enjoyed this movie, The Prince and the Pauper. Anybody ever see The Prince and the Pauper? I especially like the old one with Freddie Bartholomew and Errol Flynn. And Freddie Bartholomew does an excellent job, and he plays two parts, the pauper and the prince, and they switch positions. And the prince, they switch clothes. So here's the prince, son of the king, dressed in these, you know, beggarly clothes, gets among all these other, you know, impoverished people who start picking on him. And he starts saying, "Who do you think you're speaking to?" You should bow before your master, your better and all this stuff, you know. And steps into this place of knowing who he was born to be. Even though he's dressed, you know, in the beggarly clothes. The pauper, on the other hand, goes to the palace, doesn't know how to act like he's royalty. You know, still acting like the beggar, still acting like he has no access to anything. And that describes the church so much. If you know who you are, that you're the son of the king, no devil in hell can oppress you. You start feeling him start to tap dance on your head and say, who do you think you are? Get thee behind me, Satan. And you cast it down. What causes us to entertain oppression is feeling like we deserve it. Not knowing who we've been made. Amen. Even though we're a child of the king, we're still acting like the pauper. You must believe you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You must believe that you're a child of the king. Amen. He says, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. That's a major, major one right there. The truth is, we're supposed to be people without fear. We're not supposed to be fearing anything. What can man do unto us, the Word of God says? What should we fear? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The best the devil can do is send you to God early. Amen. And because you stood for the Word, you probably get your full reward. I believe you would. Far from oppression, for we shall not fear. So we see here, fear brings on oppression. But fear is entertained through unrighteous mentalities, not knowing who we are. See, I don't believe Jesus ever walked in fear. You know, here comes the crowd. They want to kill him. And he's going, oh no, they want to throw me off the cliff. No. We went to see Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man the other night and the other day. And there's a scene where he confronts a mugger. And the mugger pulls out a knife, you know. And Spider-Man goes, oh no, he's got a knife. The one thing I've always been afraid of is little bitty knives. He's just mocking guy and he starts throwing web all over him, you know. And all. Did I just give away the movie? That Spider-Man was not afraid of the guy with a knife. Amen. Why? Because he knew he had power of himself over the knife. What causes fear in us is not knowing who we are and that we have power over it. I don't believe Jesus ever walked in fear a day of his walk with God. Amen. I don't believe he had a single time he entertained oppression because he knew who he was. And because he knew who he knew he had power to overcome every circumstance. When the storm is raging and the professional fishermen believe they're going to die, waking him, he's asleep. He's a carpenter, not a fisherman. He was just too dumb to know they were about to die. No, he knew he had power over the storm. What's he say? Peace be still. He misses a boat. What's he do? Just walks across the water. There was nothing that could arise ahead of Jesus, before Jesus, that he didn't know he had authority to overcome. So why fear? And if we knew who we were, I'm going to say an amazing statement, but if we knew who we were, there's nothing Jesus did that we can't do. What limits us from accessing the power of God is not believing who we are. Not believing in our righteous nature, not believing in our sonship, not believing in our kingship. The Bible says you're a king and a priest before God. It says, nothing shall be impossible to those who believe. That's the word. What is left out of nothing? Nothing. In other words, everything is possible to those that believe. Believe what? the word which includes and requires you believing who you are. You must believe you are the righteousness of God. I believe one of the main dividing factors in these end times about between those who will access the power of God, the miracle power of God, and those who won't, is they don't know who they are. Don't know who they are. Now, as we talked about before, there's a false move teaching right now regarding righteousness that, you know, that you now have full grace to sin and live your life without any concern of walking holy. You know, that you can never fall. That's a warped righteousness teaching. Amen. We've been made righteous, but because we've been made righteous and given all power, we now have authority to not sin. Grace was not provided to give you an out to sin. It was to give you power over sin. Amen. I understand if we sin, we have an advocate, right? Get the tapes on that one. It says, he shall be far from oppression, for he shall not fear. And terror shall not come near him. Let me read it, get the right wording. And from terror, for it shall not come near him. You ought to be afraid of terrorists. That word terror there really is a word that means ruin. You don't have to fear ruin. You don't have to fear losing everything. Amen? How can they take anything from a king who has access of the hundredfold? It goes down in verse number 17 and it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. How many weapons? No weapons shall prosper. Why would you fear when nothing can hurt you? Well, bullets can hurt you. Bullets can't get to you if you know who you are and to put your angels in position. I've heard the stories. I can get some of them confused. We have a pastor in this ministry that years ago said he was in, a John Hagee meeting. And a guy came during the meeting, he was sitting near the front row, came down the center aisle, pulled out a gun, point blank at John Hagee, if I've got the story right, and emptied the gun right at him. And God told John Hagee, don't move. Don't move. And the guy at point blank range missed with every shot. And they looked and the bullets had created a silhouette around him. That somehow the bullets were being slightly deflected to go around his body. There's angels. I heard another account. I don't remember the name on this one, but somebody was at a meeting. And another guy came in down the aisle. Came up with a gun and started shooting the gun down the aisle at the speaker. And he says, I watched. The guy, I don't remember, Pastor Lee, somebody told me they watched as the bullet stopped in midair and fell to the ground in front of him. What'd you have? And angels are real.
Yes, they are.
And they're sitting there going, slow bullets. Slow bullets, you know, just catching them out of the air. I mean, they're moving at the speed of light. That bullet's nothing. What happened? Believing that you're a king. And then no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That time that Patty and I years ago drove up and here was a gang started attacking these two guys and beating them to death. I mean, just before dark in Lexington. And I'd always said I would never be able to stand and watch somebody do that. I would have to get involved. And I pulled a car and jumped out. Started praying in tongues. And I'm thinking, God, you give your angels charge over me. Here we go. I'm going to jump in it. I'm heading right to the middle. Bust this thing up. And while my foot hit the curb, they were from me, you know, to Zane. And they scattered. Psh, took off. One of them running going, I got a gun. I'm thinking, you can't shoot it running that fast backwards. The two guys that were getting beat up, they were all bloodied. I mean, blood pouring off their faces. They're holding each other. They walk right in front of me and don't even know I'm there. I don't believe they saw me. And I knew the guy. As he walked by, I recognized the guy that laid carpet in my house. Walked right by me, didn't know I was there, got in their van, took off. I'm sitting there by myself. The whole crowd's gone. I'm telling you. I'm convinced. Patty, they were seeing angels. Because I took a step of divine protection. God says, now watch me back him up. It wasn't my extreme courage. It was just the moment believing God. Making a decision. Could have been they saw these massive guns, but I don't think. It wasn't my physique scared them off. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We have that promise. And look what it says in a conjunction with it. And every tongue that rises up against you in condemnation, you shall condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God said, you have a right because you are the righteousness of God. God says, that righteousness is of me. You have a right to condemn condemnation. When the devil comes to you and says, who do you think you are? You can say, I'm a son of God. You're the one that fell from grace. Now get behind me. Do you follow me? You have to cast those things down. Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. You capture those thoughts and cast them down based on you knowing who you are. See, I don't believe Jesus ever walked in any sickness. All of his ministry did. I don't know what happened to him as a kid. You follow me? I don't believe he did then either. But when he's in his ministry, he never had any symptoms. He never had any sickness on his body. You know the devil tried to attack him. I bet he got attacked with every kind of symptom there was. You know, some type of assault trying to come. And Jesus would just declare the word. It says in the word, no plague nor calamity shall come near my dwelling. Sickness, get behind me. Couldn't touch him. Amen. We have the same right to do so. If we knew who we are, it wouldn't touch us. Pains and infirmities, lack, oppression are all the results of not knowing our kingship. Y'all okay tonight? We have been ordained to win. But you cannot win beyond the level you will condemn condemnation. Beyond the level you will declare your righteousness. One of the greatest tools you can use to overcome attacks of the enemy is the knowledge of who you are. Now we're used to confessing the word, at least we should be, no, by his stripes I'm healed. But you can in conjunction say that and say, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you have no rights here as well. And when I'm telling you sickness, get behind me, I'm speaking that to you as the king's kid. Now symptoms, you go. See, when you're casting down symptoms, when you're casting down lack, when you're casting down oppression, do it through the authority you know you have as a child of God. Because as long as you're doing it from your fallen, you know, your a mental state of fallenness, you're doing it hoping it works. Versus a king, you're demanding it works. I mean, those old days, those kings walked around, somebody did their off with their head. Off with their head. Alice in Wonderland, off with all their heads. Remember the Queen of Hearts? Kill them all, kill them all. King's mentality. That nobody has a right to confront them in a negative fashion. Amen? And the one that fell more than anybody else was the devil. He has absolutely zero right to oppress and confront you. But he will until you find out who you are. And until you believe who you are. Let me go to another verse or two here before we close this tonight. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Have you got it? And let's go to verse number 21. Well, verse 20. Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made righteous. The word justified means made righteous. Your own efforts will never make you righteous. Only the cross can make you righteous. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. What's he saying? Now righteousness has been provided without you trying to earn it. It's provided by faith. Amen? It says that being witnessed by the law and the prophets, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, His divine righteous nature, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Righteousness is imparted to all that believe. Believe in what? In Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, the blessings of righteousness only come upon those, the full blessings of righteousness only come upon those that know they're righteous. See, I got saved in 1984. I was saved from 1984 to 1995. 11 years I was saved, but didn't know I was righteous. I was righteous, you follow me, but I didn't know I was righteous. I've been told when I got saved I was still a sinner. So I walked around with the mentality, oh Lord, don't kick me out of heaven, oh Lord. Yeah. You know, help me, Jesus. Hold on to salvation. Anybody ever experienced that one? But in 1995, when I found out I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, things shifted. I didn't walk around entertaining condemnation anymore. I didn't try to walk around earning God's favor anymore. I didn't try to walk around, you know, deserving the things of God. I walked around knowing they're already mine through the cross. And that any adversaries had no right to attack me. It says in Ephesians 2:6, you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're not even spiritually part of this whole thing. In other words, your spirit's seated with God in heavenly places. The devil's down here in this fallen realm. It's you in heavenly places just telling your flesh and soul how to battle him. I don't know if you follow that or not, but I don't have time to go into it. We are righteous by faith. And the blessings of God that we need to receive are all amplified in us knowing who we are. You're a king's kid. So when you come up in a prayer line, see, this is the old mentality we had. We come up in a prayer line, oh God, I hope this works. Oh God, and the devil would remind you on the way up everything you've done wrong. Every mistake you'd made, you're not worthy, you're not deserving, that God would bless you. You know, remember you missed the prayer time, you broke the fast, you did this and all that. You said that word and you got mad at the kids. And he reminds you of everything you did wrong. So by the time you get up there in the front of the prayer line, it's like, how are you going to receive? You don't think you're deserving of a single touch of God. But when you find out you're righteous, and as you're coming up, the devil's still going to remind you of all those things. But you're going to be saying, no, I'm the righteousness of God. I condemn condemnation right now. I refuse it. I'm coming up as a king's kid. I receive freely. This is between me and my Father. Devil, you have nothing to do with. You've already lost out with the Father. And you come up here expecting to receive. God, fill me. I have a right to be connected to you, to be connected to the branch. Saturate me now with your goodness. And watch the power of God move. you know, having done this for some time, you learn the flow of the anointing. When I release it, I feel it going through my arm. You follow me? It's like a power, like an electricity almost, goes through, and you feel it. And many times you feel it bounce right back. You'll lay hands on somebody, you just feel it go forth, and all of a sudden you feel it bounce back. And you know, most likely, that person is fighting condemnation and doesn't feel worthy to receive. Because we receive by faith. And if you walk feeling undeserving to receive, it's going to hinder the flow of the anointing in many cases. Now, if the gifts pop or the gifts are kicking, you know, healing gifts and such, so you can just kill somebody, come and still get healed. Amen? Because it's a free gift. But where you're trying to make a faith connection, you got to take care of that condemnation. Tell the devil to get off your head. Praise you, Jesus. So that being said, let me ask, is there anybody here tonight that would need healing?